want to send our salute out to the veterans and all they do for us and keeping us the way we are, free and happy. And we're very thankful for all that you've done for us. But let's get our thoughts a little bit towards athletics here in Clinton County and in Flora. As we got a good show. This is Jamie Blacker, Don Stock here in Inside the Huddle. And Jamie, looks like it's kind of quiet over at the Purdue University campus.
Well, I guess when you only win two ball games in a year, 6 hours before kickoff, you're kind of lonely. But I want to get over here and get set up so I can do the show with you here this morning. But, man, great day for football. It's going to be sunny, 60 degrees probably. Can't wait for the atmosphere. It's always a fun time over here in West Lafayette. A lot of good high school football action last night, Don. We'll talk about the Carroll game here in a minute. But there's some teams around the area that are still in it. How about Southmont?
That's right.
Overtime game again. Their first regional title. They're heading to North Posey next weekend.
That's right. They beat Eastern Hancock 41-34 and will now play in a semifinal round at North Posey. I would think doable, huh?
Yeah, I think so. Tied into the Clinton County folks. Raymond Jones used to be the football coach at Clinton Prairie and the athletic director at Clinton Central last year. He's assistant principal at Southmont now, so he's had a good first year there for the Mounties.
Yep, we can head towards the Hoosier Heartland Conference as Adams Central, of course, beat Carroll last night 29-0. Sheridan beat North Decatur 24-20. They'll play Lutheran at Sheridan next Friday.
Yeah, well, we'll talk with Coach Betzner here towards the end of his interview about some of these teams, and Lutheran's going to be one of them I want to talk to him about because, you know, they're an elite program. I think this, you know, probably be their last year in Class A, and I don't think there's too many of us disappointed that they're leaving, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
but
I hear you.
I just feel like maybe next weekend there'll be a faint lightning strike or something happen over there at Bud Wright Stadium that, you know, that delays the game or something weird or who knows, Don, what happened over there. You know, just strange things happen to Sheridan, you know that.
That's kind of funny. Well, North Judson beat Park Tudor last night 44-24, so I believe that Adams Central will be the host of North Judson. I think if Park Tudor would have won, they would have had to travel to Indianapolis. So Adams Central facing up against North Judson.
And that score didn't surprise me. We talked to you yesterday morning on Party Line. North Judson was a, you know, one touchdown favorite. And Park Tudor just didn't play anybody all year. Their strength of schedule, I think, you know, they have some really good athletes. And there's no doubt about that. But once you see teams like Adams Central or North Judson or Indianapolis Lutheran, it's a whole different ballgame.
Let's do a little Hoosier Conference talk last tonight as Lafayette Central Catholic moves on. They beat Lavelle 22-0, and West Lafayette falls to Knox 41-23. So Catholic will now load up the bus and head to Bishop Lures next Friday.
Yeah, and I think that's a very winnable game for Lafayette Central Catholic. Looking at the scores, and I believe they'll be favored to win that game up there, even going on the road. Catholics are another very good ball team, and, you know, they're playing up. They should be really, I think, down in 1A, but their success factor moved them up last season.
And then the last score I have is from the Hoosier Crossroads. That'll be Westfield up ending Hamilton Southeastern 24-21. They'll travel to Crown Point to see who moves on to Lucas Oil.
Yeah, Westfield is a very good ball program. You know, that school corporation just keeps growing, and they've got all kinds of athletes over there. I believe Coach Slicker's brother's on the staff for the Shamrocks, if I remember correctly.
Well, one game that did not get played will be played this afternoon. That's Gibson Southern, 10-2, come to Tri-West, 11-1. That should be a pretty good ball game.
Yeah, and I didn't even look to see, you know, how that game's played out, but I would guess Gibson Southern, they've really improved their program in the last few years, sending a lot of kids to play college football. That could be a heck of a matchup if they beat Tri-West with Heritage Hills. That's a rivalry in Southern Indiana.
Well, let's turn our thoughts towards Carroll. The Carroll Cougars losing to Adams Central last night, 29-0. We have on the phone Coach Betzner. Coach, thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate it.
Hey, how are you guys today?
Well, how about you?
Well, yeah, I'm good. You know, it is, you know, you deal with some things and you just understand a couple different things. Well, as we went into the game last night, I talked to their coach. Their coach is a great guy. Coach Mosier is and I've told our staff that that's what I want to be. You know, that's the goal. Be Adams Central. They've got a great public school program, and they do things the right way. So well coached, you can tell those kids have all bought in, and they're a football. They're all football, and they've done things the right way. And the good thing is, before the game, he talked to me and said, "Hey, this is the healthiest we've been, you know, in 3 years. So we've got everybody playing tonight." Throughout the year, the tester kid didn't play against us last year, didn't play all all postseason so far. But he was finally he kind of held him out for our game, and said 78's only been playing one way, but he's got to go both ways tonight against you guys. I thought we were a lot better than we were last year, and I thought they were a lot better than they were last year with their speed and just what they bring. So, I might be wrong, but I don't think there's a 1A school that'll touch them this year. They're just their speed and their physicalness is just next level. I mean, I'd put them against just about anybody in the state. It's kind of funny because when you look at scores, just to kind of understand what Adams Central is, Kokomo played Jay County in first round of sectionals and beat them 14-7. I've got the Jay County film at Adams Central, and it was 35-0 at halftime. Eastside played Lures, and it was a 14-10, and it was 42-0 at halftime with Eastside. Or 35. It was running clock before halftime. They beat everybody by 40. It's pretty insane when you go watch their film.
Yeah, the radio guys were in front of us for Adams Central, and they say that once the train gets clicking, it gets pretty crazy, and the scores wrap it up pretty quick. And that didn't happen last night. I thought Carroll kind of held their own a couple plays here and there, and at halftime it could have easily been 14-7, the pass to Ellis, and he didn't quite get down there. But it brings up my topic, which is their team speed. Man, I'll tell you what, I don't think I've seen a team faster than them all year.
It's extraordinary. It really is. Until you've actually been there and seen it, we didn't even try to run the perimeter. We couldn't do it. We knew we couldn't do it. They were just so fast. And then we can't pass block four of them. I mean, their front four guys are, we need about eight guys to pass block their four. That's how good they were. And we haven't had those issues all year. It's just you just put your hands up and just say, okay, well, what else can we do? And I told the kids, that's what teams do to us, where it's like, okay, what are we going to do now against them? Defensively, I thought that's how we were all year. Okay, they can't do their regular stuff. They start doing stuff they're not used to. And then you just kind of put up your hands and like, all right, what can we do? And, that's what Adams Central is. They're just a next-level program that we'll never see in 1A again. Their enrollment's up, so they'll never be a 1A football program again, which is not a sad thing for us.
Yep.
But their physicality and just and he told me after the game, he said, I'll never have a team like this again. I've got four, 3-year All-State players, with number 16, 78, 10, and
probably six.
Oh, yeah, six. The fullback, yeah. Yeah, I don't want to forget him. He said he'll never have that again in one class. Those four guys, they were the stars when they were sophomores. They went to state championship. They were stars as juniors. They went to a state championship, and now they're all seniors. So they got overloaded.
That was my question. I was talking with some Prairie guys on the way home and watched that, and of course I was at the game.
Yep.
Can you think of any Class A teams in recent history around here even could match them? I mean, I go back to the Amthrop boys at LCC. I don't even think Catholic could beat that team last night. Jack Kaiser, Pioneer, I mean, he was a one-man show, and they just kind of went around the end with him. But, man, total team speed, even back to 1988, Brett Law at Sheridan, I don't think could match that. Because you guys threw a pass late in the second half down your sideline, caught it, and your guy broke free up the middle. They had seven guys run him down. I mean, I've never seen that in high school football. It's just if you have never seen it, it was just amazing to see that team speed. And I think Lutheran, they're not penciled in a state champion yet by any means. I think that could be these guys could knock them off.
Well, with the scores I've seen with Lutheran, they've been two battles with 1A schools. They've won by a touchdown twice, and unless those 1A schools are I don't know a lot about the South football, but I know what Adams Central is, and and it's again, it's a sad thing because they're not a normal 1A football team. They're just not. They're just really, really good, and we've had to play them 2 years in a row. I thought, after my first year, I would love to play Judson. I think you know, I think Judson is a lot like a Sheridan. I think that game would be a really good game, Sheridan and Judson. And, you know, they're Adams Central is just an elite program that does everything the right way. And they've been blessed with some amazing athletes. And but even if they didn't have amazing athletes, they do things the right way and they figure things out really quick. You know, they started running a trap against us, and you know, our inside backer kept stepping wrong with the trap, and our nose was. And we ran something we never ran against. We ran a 3-man front. We were in a 3-5 half the time because we knew if we stood in the 4-3, they'd eat us alive. We knew if we were in a 4-4, they'd eat us alive. So, you know, we had to do some things just for them. And we've done that all year defensively. We've changed it, you know, how we run it. But, you know, we have had a 3-man front all year, and we haven't slanted as much as we have. So, you know, the kids, you know, had to do some things they weren't really used to doing just to give us a chance. And, you know, the trap hurt us a little bit just because, you know, our steps weren't the greatest, and they were kind of, you know, just doing some things they weren't used to.
Coach, what's the big difference between the first half and the second half? Because in the first half, you had the Bloom kid locked up pretty tight. He didn't do awful much, but boy, did he break it loose in the second half. Is it just they made some changes?
Well, yeah. So they ran that trap the first play, but they if you look at the total yards, they had two big plays, and you know, we had them like in the past. They called it a heavy set. And they just, you know, we had a man, 16's a man. If you took his helmet off, he looks like Hacksaw Jim Duggan if you're an old wrestling fan.
Yep.
He's, oh my goodness, he took his helmet. I'm like, holy, there's no way you're 18 years old. And he's just built like a, and Metzger's a heck of an athlete, you know, defending him. And but, you know, he's just so good. And, but, yeah, if you look at the total yards second half, they got, I mean, after, you know, they ran that trap that one time and had trapped twice. They probably, you know, that trap for about 60 yards the first play of second half. And then he ran a trap two more times for about 14 yards. And but after that, they didn't get much done offensively. They had two huge plays in the second half. But other than that, I think they punted twice, three times in the second half. So I thought defensively in the second half, we actually played pretty well other than one play. And then as soon as we got it fixed, you know, we played pretty well then. But, yeah, they're great at halftime changes. They're great at, you know, we were cutting 78. This is how you know when you're against a good coaching staff. We decided to start cutting 78 because he's blowing our line down. So we start cutting 78. They start running belly to the tight end side and not even blocking the guy that's cutting him. And he's so the guy that we're cutting is actually blocking two guys because his block there is blocking out, but he knows he's getting cut. So that tackle's just killing our inside linebacker. They change that instantly. And that in high school football, that doesn't happen. That just tells you all the, you know, all you need to know about coaching. So we had to fix it instantly back, and then we were fine. But usually teams don't find that fast. Usually it takes, you know, halftime or at least some time. So that just tells you how well they're coached.
I'm getting some stats from the guys in front of us on the players before the ball game, and, you know, not knowing much about Adams Central and Jack Hamilton and the Rabbit.
Yes.
The Rabbit is what he should be called. You know, he came in throwing the ball 38 completions out of 58. Attempts for 1,026 yards, 65% completion rate, 19 touchdowns. They don't say anything about his running. But, man, that guy, once he got the ball and made that fake and came around, of course, he would always go towards their side. And and it was like, all right, let's man that up a little bit. But there, even if you did, I don't know if you could have. That guy was – I've never seen a guy so fast.
Yeah, so they run it. Their two best plays are belly keep, and they're a nightmare. And I thought we dealt with both of them really, really well. I'll tell you who had a game that just grew up, and this is a name that you guys are going to be talking about for the next couple of years because he's going to be a freak, is Emery Deaton.
Yep.
He's turned into that kid now, and they stopped running it at him. They completely just stopped doing anything towards his way, and when Adams Central stops running at you on purpose, you know you're doing something right. So he was dealing with that play really, really well. And I thought, even though I know he did get some yards, you know, he usually has three or four touchdowns running down the sidelines. And that's a play that we knew coming in that we had to stop. And I thought we did a really, really nice job of stopping that play. Because just like you said, he's so fast and so good in open space.
Emery Deaton is a kid who has a lot of speed to himself, too. He was kind of showing that towards the end of the ball game. I get that everybody has their subs and stuff in, but at quarterback, is that something that you're just looking at, or Luke Luke in. I kind of felt sorry for Luke because, man, he was just getting popped all night long. And then he started getting gun-shy. And understandingly, had he had just there was a couple plays, had he had just made one more step, he'd probably made the completion. But, man, he was dumping the ball, and I would have too.
Well, and here's the, when you're a quarterback, you got everybody watching you. Everybody watching you. You know, when it's good, it's good. When it's not, you know, you're going to hear. But what people don't understand, I went and watched the film last night, and, I don't care who you are. When in 2 seconds you got four guys in your face, it's going to be hard to stay in the pocket very long. So, you know, I mean, I thought he did fine. You know, he was a kid. You know, he did all through the year. He did really, really well. Took a ton of pressure. And we haven't thrown the ball that much, you know, probably all the whole year that we had to last night. And when they know you have to throw, it's just not as fun. But Emery's going to be, you know, he's going to be a fullback or a wing. I'm not sure what he's going to be, but whatever he is, he's going to be electric. I mean, we got, and I think that's the thing coming back. We were a pounded team this year with Zinn and Mullins and Deaton and Wiles, those kind of kids. We're going to be, you know, four of those guys are 4'5", 4'6", guys, and we're going to have so much speed on the edges and offensively that we're just going to look so much different, but really dynamic in the passing game with Luke and with those guys. And it really, really hurts because what we did this year, we were a pounded team. We didn't throw the ball a ton, but when you have speed, you're not bringing guys as much as you do when teams aren't afraid about you getting out as much. So, Luke will be a really good quarterback for it. I think he took a huge jump this year, and I think he'll take a really big jump again next year. So, he'll be our quarterback next year, and I'm not sure where Emery's going to play, but he's going to get a lot of opportunities.
Hey, Coach, when you were on defense there early in the game or even a lot of the game, did you get frustrated a little bit on wherever you lined up Ellis, they just seemed to run away from him last night, and he just couldn't get that defense into the game, and I think his body language, you know, he just felt like he really needs to be doing something, but he really couldn't because their speed, by the time he chased it down, they were just so far gone from him.
Well, you got, you know, I'm sure that's how Levi Osler feels, at, you know, Prairie, where, why don't you just run at me? You know, it'd be really nice if and that's the good part about, you know, I'd say the game plan was when you put him somewhere, if they run away, they're not running at their best guys. They're not running at what they want to do. So at least you try to, you know, mitigate the opportunity for them to do what they want to do with having Ellis, you know, just all over the place. And, you know, he's another kid. I am so proud of Keegan Ellis, the kid he became in the last few weeks. I think I talked about it last week. But, man, I hope he has the opportunity to go play somewhere next year. He's just starting his stride and what he can become. You know, somebody takes him and puts on 40, 50 pounds and he plays defensive end and, you know, tight end or whatever he is, he could be, you know, I just feel like he hasn't even touched his potential. And he's grown up so much as a man that through my 3 years of having him, he's a rock solid man now. And I hope he continues with what he's doing.
Well, Coach, let's talk a little bit about your seniors. Let's start with Griffin Viney. And a lot of these guys, you know, we didn't call their names out a lot last night, but they still had a pretty good ball game. Dominic Barnes, one of them, and McLean, all of them played very, very well. But let's start with Griffin Viney, and let's start hanging up with our seniors.
Yeah, so Griff, I feel bad for Griff. He got against Tri-County. He was running, and they pulled him back, and he rolled up on his ankle. And he's never been the same. He's barely walking. You know, he's limping. You know, he was a fraction of what player, you know, last night, that, you know, what he really is, just getting down, killing people. I mean, Prairie guys know it. I mean, he's a missile out of the backfield. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it the last 3 weeks, and it really hurt him. And but he had a great, I mean, from his sophomore year to now, he's been, you know, an all-conference kid. He's going to be a kid we miss. He really got good offensively this year, but again, last three games we didn't really use him just because his ankle injury. So just feel bad in that sense, where, you know, he was coming into his own and one little nagging injury kind of sidelined him doing what he really wanted to do.
About Clark McLean.
So Clark, he's an example kid. Hardest working, probably the hardest working kid on our team, if not the hardest, one of the top three. He did everything for us. He's a receiver, caught a lot of great balls, just a motivator. Just kids look at him and, you know, they know he's going to do the right things at the right time. He's a kid I just love. I love spending time with him outside of football. He's just, again, another great kid. He's been through a lot in his life and just keeps working, and he's going to be another great one just in the community.
Clayton Johnston?
Yeah. Clayton, again, I wasn't sure what he was going to do this year for us. He played tight end, defensive end. If you see him, he's all man. He's a kid that, if you ever have an opportunity, shake his hand. His hands are about three times the size of anybody I've ever met in my entire life. But another great kid, a great family. Going to miss him a lot. He brings a lot to the table, just a hard worker, just fun to be around. So, yeah, just another you know, a kid you don't see in 1A football. He's 6'2", 220. Just a really good-looking, hard-working kid that you just don't replace. But the reason he's that way is because, man, he put so much time in the weight room and effort to get to where he's at.
Trent Metzger.
Trent was a kid that didn't play as a sophomore when we made it to regionals the first time, and I went and talked to him multiple times. Hey, you know, his brother's a star player on our team. Come out and play. You know, I know you're not your brother. He's not that kind of athlete. He's not a running back type athlete. But come out and play. We'd love to have you. It's been, you know, I think he would tell you it was one of the best decisions he made. He was so good for the team. He was really good defensively. He was really good as a receiver. Again, he's just a kid ethically and just doing the right thing all the time. You can't replace, you know, leadership. He's just a really hard kid to replace, and he's one we're definitely going to miss.
So before we talk about Dominic Barnes, I want to talk about a play, which was 78 Warm. Zach Warm was coming up and kind of gave him a chuck late, and Dominic Barnes went right up to him, and I'm thinking, hey, be careful there. He's a pretty big boy over there.
Yeah.
But talk about Dominic Barnes.
He might be the best 1A linebacker in the state. If there's a better one, I'd really like to. Maybe sixth for Adams Central. The things that he's able to do, he was extraordinary. He moved in from Oregon, and he fit in right away. Met our expectations. That's why I told him last night, I wish this happened every year where you got a kid like him moved in. But not as only a great player, just a great kid, just a great man. I am, you know, we are so blessed, so lucky to have him move into our school over the summer and fit in. He really changed the dynamic of our team. Just really, it was great because it turned Ellis's head, because when he walked in, he looked like Ellis. And, you know, Ellis was the big dog on the street, you know, big dog everywhere. When he walked in, it turned him immediately, I better get to work, because this kid can do a lot of stuff. And I wish we'd had him for 4 years. I think if we'd had him for 4 years that, you know, he'd be a little different player, just not as in defensively, but offensively what we could have done with him. And but, man, what a blessing he was. A lot of fun to be around. He'll be a kid that, you know, I know will be around for the next 30 years in the community and probably be at every game.
Some of these kids we haven't talked a lot about, but I know you've got some good things to say, and let's talk about Jacoby Cox.
Yeah, so Cox has always been, you know, he's a kid that, again, another move-in, came out and played, and, you know, he didn't get a lot of playing time, but he was always there. These are the kinds of kids I love. Him and Mason Rout, Keegan Burge, Nathan Wright, those kids didn't miss a practice. They didn't get much playing time, hardly any. And they never missed a practice, but they were so important to us, scout team-wise, and doing what they were supposed to do. I think that's why our program has been built the way it is. You know, our JV team can go down and play JV, and our seconds, you know, the varsity level, our juniors and seniors that aren't JV players, you know, they're scout team guys, and they've done everything the right way, getting us prepared to play. And they don't complain. I've never heard one time, like, hey, when can I play? You know, just they did their role, and that's when you know I think the program's going the right way, when you don't have a lot of guys coming to you asking you, you know, why am I not getting playing time? Those guys just came and worked, and we got them in when we could, and they benefited so much, you know, the offense and defense.
So you have Dakota Lewis and Cohen Miller.
Yep, so both of Dakota's kind of the same way with the other group, you know, came to practice, worked with those guys really well, scout team type guy. Cohen Miller, picked him up from the soccer team, was our punter. Really good punter, and it's so nice when you don't have to have Keegan Ellis out there punting, because he was going to be our punter. So having a guy that can just punt and do that, it was nice to have him out. And again, another great ethical, moral kid that is great for the community. You know, never have to worry about what he's doing, just always doing the right thing.
Man, a name we didn't get a call out very much or any at all last night is Cooper Welk. We like talking about Cooper.
Yeah, Cooper and Marley. those two guys, so they've been starting on our defensive line all year. This is, I'm so proud of these guys. There's games where they shared a position. So they were defensive end and tackle all year for us. And there's a couple games where we brought in some more beef. I think it was Sheridan one game, and I can't remember. We maybe tried Central the first time. Brought in a little bit more beefy kids to play some tackle, so they would share a spot. Never said a word. Just did their job. And last night, we went to a three-man front, and we brought Trey Pagan in, which is a – if you know Trey, he is a he's wired up, and he slanted hard. We were just trying to make – we were trying to get people in the backfield. He's just a really good player doing those kinds of things. And so neither one of them started last night for us. And I know that's a hard thing. I do. You know, you've been starting all year, and, you know, regional finals, you know, hey, I'm not starting. And neither one of them said a word. They came to practice every day, did their job. Again, I'm so thankful for the kids that put the team first. And when you put the team first, you know, the team can do a lot of things. When individuals put themselves first, it's really hard for the team to be successful at anything. So those two guys I couldn't be more proud of by just doing what they, you know, what the team needed. And they came in and played quite a bit, but they weren't starting. And I knew that, I know they could have. It could have been a problem in practice all week. They weren't. They just came and did what they did, and just shows you what kind of men they're going to be later in life.
We're going to get down into the trenches now with, as you just got through talking about, Trey Pagan, who had a great night last night. Outstanding.
Yeah, Trey's a great kid. He moved in from Kokomo my sophomore year. Didn't want to come. He told, you know, stepmom was talking to me, didn't want to come at all. Was mad that they were moving him there. And he became a pillar of our team. And, Trey is a kid that, you know, I'll be at his wedding. I'll probably be there when his first kid's born. I you know, I'll be there for those kinds of things. You know, that kind of relationship we have with Trey, a kid that just did it all. He was a lot of fun to have. You know, got close to our family. He just, I don't know, very likable kid. Very, very likable kid that put it all together the last couple of years, and I couldn't be more proud of him and the player he became. And everything he does is just makes you smile, makes you laugh, just fun to be around.
Yeah, Cole Trent, he hardly gets talked about at all, but he's in every play offensively and makes things happen. Talk a lot about Cole.
Oh, Cole is a kid that definitely has a special piece of my heart. He walked in, so he's had some rough times. His dad passed away in an accident before I got there. He was a firefighter, and first game we're going to Tri-County, and Michael Carey brings me up Cole Trent. He's a sophomore this time. Brings him up to me and says, "Hey, Cole needs to do something. You know, he needs to be part of something." And I said, "Okay, that's fine." You know, I never look at him. I was like, "Okay, he'll never play for us, but sure, why not?" He could be part. He can come. So he came to the Tri-County game. His a sophomore, didn't play one snap, you know, varsity football as a sophomore. And then he had maybe the best off season I've ever seen a kid have. And he was a starting center in a year. And then he, you know, again played, you know, this year as a starting center again. You know, he's the strongest kid on our team. He's gigantic, but he's just such a soft, you know, spoken person, but man, he's got a big heart. He's the kind of kid that football did a lot for him. The team and being part of something and having excitement in his life and doing the things that really brought him joy. I'm just so thankful that he got those opportunities and we were able to see those and see what he became, because you don't get many like Cole Trent. He's a kid that'll have a special place in my heart for sure.
Let's see, we're down to Micah McManus.
Yeah. So Micah, he's hilarious. The first home game last year, he sleeps all the time. So he went home, took a nap, and no one can find him. So I'm calling him like 20 minutes before the game. He's still not back at the game. So he's late to the first home game last year because he's sleeping. But this is a kid when I came, he wore number 31. I'm not sure what he could ever do with the ball in his hand. He was not that kid. So I told him, you better get to work in the weight room. Because in the last year, you know, he was a JV kid. And then he put just another amazing year in to to get, he's our starting left tackle all year, and he did a really nice job from a kid, again, that started as a skill guy and wasn't sure what he was going to be, and then he just turned himself into something that was really good. He's a hardworking, really likable kid, takes it real seriously, does everything the right way. You just trust him. But yeah, he's a kid that I'll definitely remember in a lot of ways.
Well, Coach, hey, Jamie, you've got something before we wrap it up?
Hey, I just want to tell Coach I'm really impressed with the whole program. Staying there last night, from the crowd to everyone. You know, you can always second-guess the coach. There was none of that going on in the Carroll community last night. And, you know, they're totally behind you guys. You know, day one, you built it the right way. Everybody in the area is probably trying to emulate the Carroll Cougars because that, you guys were a really good football team this year, and I don't want anybody to forget that today. You ran into a great football team last night, but, you know, the Carroll Cougars really was a good football team this year, and I enjoyed watching them, enjoyed you calling in every week. Your street to listen to and the way you treat your kids and the respect, you know, the community has for you is just top-notch.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you guys. It's been a blast. But I think we did forget about one senior. I want to make sure I talked to, I don't know if we talked about the other week, Andre Hernandez, yep, and Evan Johnson. Andre, again, you know, big-time player for us for the last few years. Hilarious. Going to be fun, you know, going to be hard to miss. But Evan Johnson's a kid, his dad broke his back the Tri-County game. Now, this is a kid, again, he's put so much work in. He's lived in the weight room. If you've looked at him, he's chiseled now. He loves football. Just loves every. I mean, he couldn't leave. He couldn't start the game, and he didn't want to leave the game last night. He was all bought in, but he's given everything to Carroll football, and he's a kid I want a lot of kids to emulate. Is Evan Johnson? He does everything the right way. If you are a young kid on our team, if I would have anybody that, you know, any young kid that wants to look towards what they want to be like in as a Carroll football player, it'd be Evan Johnson, how he prepares and what he does. So, but yeah, I thank you guys so much. It's been a great ride, and we're excited to get back next year.
Yeah, Coach, I know it, to watch the seniors on the last night is always very, very difficult. You just hate it for them. But, man, they have so much to be proud of their accomplishments of this year's football team. I mean, their names are going to be up on a board for quite a while as far as records that they've set, going undefeated, yep, in the conference and a three-peat in the sectional. So that's, yep, that's pretty tough. That's pretty tough to do.
Yep. Yep. For sure.
All right. Well, congratulations on a great season, Coach. We look forward to you. I know I said last night you're already probably working on next year already, trying to get the names to the places and how you're going to get started. So, you know, keep up the good work. We look forward to seeing you there as we come up for winter sports.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right, we were talking with
Coach Blake
Betzner of the Carroll Cougars. As coming up next, we're going to be heading to girls basketball. Matt Crawford trying to call in. We'll get you, Matt, as the Lady Hot Dogs off and running here in this year. We want to welcome back or talk about our sponsors. That would be Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Winsky Brothers, Barrett Farm Express, Inc., and Healthy Communities of Clinton County. Don't go away. Matt Crawford up next.
If you need help with getting health coverage, quitting smoking or vaping, resources for a healthy pregnancy, testing for pregnancy or sexually transmitted infections, or getting treatment for mental health or addiction, just call Healthy Communities at 765-659-6063. That's Healthy Communities at 765-659-6063. Healthy Communities of Clinton County, where they help make the healthy choice the easy choice.
State Farm agents are one of a kind. They understand insurance and share a genuine concern for others. State Farm agent Susan Casper works very hard every day to help people find the right products for their insurance and financial needs. From homeowners and renters to retirement planning, please call Susan Casper today to talk about which products are best for you. Get to a better state. State Farm.
Winners never quit. And that's the same approach Barrett Farms Express takes when it comes to helping their customers. Whether you need drainage and tile services, erosion products, or landscape mulch, Barrett Farms Express goes the distance. trucking needs? Barrett Farms Express offers commercial grain and feed hauling too, and is looking for additional drivers for their expanding business. For more information, visit BarrettFarmsExpress.com. Barrett Farms Express, proud sponsor of Inside the Huddle. In these days when every dollar counts, Winske Brothers is here to put more money back in your wallet. Whether you're coming from Lebanon, Delphi, Tipton, or beyond, Winske's is worth your while. Winske's offers metal recycling, industrial hauling and waste removal, new and used steel sales, and more. And at Winske Brothers, customer service is second to none. Winske's is fully insured with no purchase minimum to serve all customers, large and small.
Hi, I'm Jim from Winske Brothers. We hope to see you soon at 751 West Washington Street in Frankfort, or check us out at WinskeBrothers.com or on Facebook. We appreciate your business.